paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up online while you're there at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. Or Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Now, during the next hour, we're going to be discussing eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program today are those of myself and of the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD. That means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, today I want to talk about something that we've had a little bit more experience with recently. We're learning more about as time goes on, and it turns out that it's a very, very, very common problem. And we refer to it as dry eye disease, but it really is a whole spectrum of conditions and diseases, basically irritated, itchy eyes, red eyes, sore eyes, burning eyes, difficulty reading after you've been reading for a while, tired eyes. Those are all related to dry eye disease, and we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about that and some of the innovations that are available for treating it in just a little bit. First, I want to go to the phones. We've got Sunny standing by on the lines. Hi, Sunny, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Turn down your radio.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to, two quick points. I've experienced aloe vera being excellent for the eyes. You can just put it right in there, and it just cures just about any problem for me. And the second thing was, have you heard about these pinhole glasses that correct your vision if you wear them? Sometimes it improves your vision.
Right. What about them?
I just wanted to, get that out there for people that, have problems with their vision. They can start correcting it when they're around the house. Just wear these pinhole glasses that I heard about. I don't know. Do they even work?
Well, pinhole glasses actually are interesting. They work to make your vision better when you're wearing them, but they don't do anything to correct your vision when you're not wearing them. So you can't get better by wearing pinhole glasses so that you won't have to wear them anymore. They just do the same thing that wearing regular glasses does, but it's just a funny-looking regular pair of glasses, in a sense. For people who have low levels of nearsightedness or farsightedness, you can see better through the pinhole glasses because they limit the amount of light getting into your eye and make it more less scattered, the light, so that it actually improves the focus a little bit, but it doesn't do anything to permanently improve your vision.
Huh. Okay. Thanks.
So all those claims that you see on the internet, one of the things that I learned early on is that everything you see on the internet isn't true. All right, thanks for your call, and aloha. Actually, I saw a funny ad on TV. I don't remember what the ad was for, but I do remember that they were talking about some of the claims that are seen on the internet. I think it was for an insurance company or something, and the woman said to the man, Oh, I'm going out to, isn't it true that this and so on is the case? And the man said, no, where did you hear that? She said, on the internet. And he said, well, everything you see on the internet is not true. And she says, really? No, everything on the internet is true. I read that on the internet. And he kind of just smiles, and then she turns around and says, now I'm going to meet Ted. I met him online. He's a rocket scientist and has 3 degrees from Harvard and all of this. And it turns, and there's this kind of like loser-looking guy that she's about to go off with. And so the message that I got is not so much that whatever insurance company is a good insurance company, but the message I got is that you can't believe everything you see online. So you need to consider the source. And actually, that's an important thing when it comes to medical information, is that when you look for things that you're trying to get information on something, you have to consider the source of where that information is coming from. What does the person or the group of people who's putting that information out there have to gain what is their basis for bringing you that knowledge? What information do they have that you may not have that allows them to tell you that something is the case? And so you want two things when you're looking online. You want to consider who the source is in terms of, can they gain or benefit from something that they're promoting or pushing? So if you're looking at someone who's selling pinhole glasses and they say pinhole glasses are the greatest thing in the world, you may want to wonder, you know, why they're saying they're the greatest things in the world, and they're also selling them for $19.99, and when they cost 50 cents to make. And so that's one way to consider the source. And the other way is, who is the person who's talking? Is it an expert in their field? Is it someone who's done experimentation? Someone who has some kind of access to some kind of data? And the third thing is that information corroborated in other sources? In other words, if you go online and you find someone saying that pinhole glasses are the best thing in the world for your eyes, and then you go and you look for other information that supports or refutes that, you're going to get a pretty good idea from the other things that you find online whether or not that's a good thing. And I'm just using the pinhole glasses because it's something that came up. There are so many things that are out there that people are promoting or that people want you to believe, or that people are have their own agenda that they're trying to disseminate or get more widespread information out there about whatever their agenda is. And you see this with political emails as well. You see it on all sides of the political spectrum. People making claims about things that are or aren't the case, and the readers, if they have a certain mindset to begin with, are much more likely to believe certain types of stories. And some people just pretty much believe everything that they read. They figure if it's in writing or it's up there electronically, then it must be true. And so this can be a little bit dangerous. The other thing that gentleman, the first caller this morning, mentioned is he said that he puts aloe vera in his eye in order to soothe it, in order to make it feel better for almost anything that bothers him. And I don't know whether that's safe or not. You know, I'd have to do a little bit more research on that. There are many plants that the sap from the plants can be quite toxic and irritating to the eye. In particular, I know that plants like crown flower can be very toxic, very irritating to the eye. Plumeria, pencil tree, all of these white saps. The sap from the poinsettia plant can be very toxic, very irritating to the eye. And for some of these saps, if they get in your eye, it can basically blur your vision and cause you significant pain and discomfort for several weeks. And some might even do permanent damage, I don't know. But I have seen people, particularly with a crown flower sap, getting that in their eyes, be blurry and have poor vision for a long time. And one case that I know of, I think the patient even developed permanent vision loss as a result of crown flower sap in the eye. So you have to be careful what you put in your eye. And just because it comes from a plant doesn't mean it's safe or healthy. And the aloe plant does have great qualities on the skin, so putting aloe sap from the aloe plant on your skin seems to be very helpful, particularly in burns and other irritations of the skin. It's also a good moisturizer or a lubricant. Whether or not it's so good for your eyes, I don't know, without seeing studies or research that look at what the pH and what the composition of the aloe is, and then having tried it in other volunteers' eyes, it's hard to say whether that's something that's safe or not. So I wouldn't necessarily go putting sap from the aloe plant into your eye. Okay, there are many over-the-counter preparations that are designed specifically to put in your eye. So if your eye is irritated or bothersome or scratchy or itchy or dry, then the over-the-counter lubricants are a good option. But let's talk a little bit more about dry eyes as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost?
Ah, yes, Hawaiian Eyes, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. A gentleman called early in the program saying that if his eyes are uncomfortable, he puts some aloe juice in his eye. And I recommended against doing that without knowing a little bit more about what aloe sap contains and whether it's irritating or toxic to the eye or can cause any damage to the eye. But the thing that he may be experiencing that bothers the eyes, or the things that many people experience that bother their eyes that make them want to put something in the eye to soothe them, many of them are attributable to a problem or a condition which affects the very surface layer of the eye. The surface of the eye is coated with a thin layer of tears, of moisture, and that's known as the tear film. That tear film is necessary in order to keep your eye comfortable, in order to keep the surface of the eye healthy, and in order to keep your vision good. If that tear film is too thin or evaporates too quickly, or if it is not significant or not sufficient, then several things happen. Your eyes can become uncomfortable, and that uncomfortable feeling can range from soreness, to tired feeling, to burning, to itching, to redness, to tearing. Sometimes tearing is being caused by an insufficient tear film. And it can also lead to blurring of the vision, particularly intermittent blurring associated with using your eyes, reading the computer or using the computer for a period of time, reading the newspaper over a period of time, leading to blurry vision can certainly be related to an abnormal tear film coating the surface of the eye. And so when that tear film becomes irregular, it causes a number of symptoms which can range from mildly annoying to severely debilitating and impacting daily life and daily activities. for someone who needs to use the computer, or for someone who wears contact lenses and really wants to continue to be able to wear contact lenses, having a severe defect in the tear film or a severe dry eye can cause significant interference with their ability to do the things that they want to do or that they need to do in order to do their jobs and so forth. And so this condition, this dry eye disease condition, is something that is increasingly prevalent in our population, in our country. It's something that is causing a loss of productivity among some people. It's causing people to be uncomfortable in some cases. Some people, at the end of the day, their eyes feel a little tired and dry. Some people throughout the whole day are bothered by the eyes feeling uncomfortable, scratchy, irritated, itchy, red. People come in saying, you know, my eyes are red a lot. People get conditions like pterygium, combination of the sunlight, the ultraviolet light from the sun, and dryness of the eyes can lead to conditions like pterygium, which is a growth on the surface of the eye that can look quite unsightly, and if it gets big enough, can actually affect or damage the vision. So all of these things contribute to the overall difficulty that people have with the ocular surface, the surface of the eye, or the tear film, the moisture layer on the surface of the eye. So in order to understand how this becomes a problem and how we can deal with it, you have to understand a little bit about how the tear film works. The tear film is not just water, because if it were just water, it would move over the surface of the eye and would immediately just roll off the surface of the eye and probably would evaporate very quickly. The tear film is actually made up of several components. One is a watery component to lubricate the surface of the eye, but there's also an oil component and a mucus component which go to work to stabilize the tear film, thin it out, allow it to be uniform so that it's a uniform layer of moisture over the surface of the eye. You could imagine if you had a bumpy or irregular surface that the light was reflecting off of, or that was passing through, that you'd have some blurring of the vision. And so if the tear film is irregular or it's not smooth, it's not sort of uniform all the way across, this can lead to symptoms as well, blurry vision and uncomfortable feelings if dry spots form as well. So the tear film requires not only the water, the moisture of the tears, and people associate tears with crying. So the tears that you get when you're crying is one element of the tear film that's called the aqueous component, or the watery component of the tear film. But there's also the oil component, which turns out to be a very important component in preventing evaporation of the tear film and providing for smoothing of the tear film over the surface of the eye. And so this oil component of the tear film is created by a series of about 23 to 27 glands on your lower lids, and each lower lid and each upper lid, which secrete oil into your tear film onto the surface of the eye. And that oil is spread over the surface of the eye along with the moisture, causing a nice thin, comfortable layer of moisture on the surface of the eye through each blink. So if you are blinking properly, what's happening is that your upper lid and lower lid are coming together as you blink, and that's causing a little tapping on the lid, which leads to a little release of oil, and then the eyelid moves over the surface of the eye, spreading the oil like a windshield wiper over the surface of your eye. And so if the oil and the watery component and all the other parts of the tear film are working properly, you get a nice thin layer of moisture that's very uniform, very consistent, and it coats the surface of the eye and protects the surface of the eye. If any portion of the tear film becomes deficient, if you have too little watery tears, too few watery tears, or if you have too little oil in your tear film, this can interfere with the normal function of your tear film and, of course, the comfort and function of the eyes. And when I say function, I mean you're not going to be seeing as well as you should if your tear film is not regular and consistent and nicely spread over the surface of the eye. So you can imagine, think about, you know, a windshield wiper. It spreads wipes the water off your windshield, but it also spreads a very thin layer of moisture over the surface of the windshield so that it's uniform and not in little bumpy droplets, which is what you can't see through when you're looking through a windshield. So the surface of the eye can be likened to a windshield. You're looking through kind of a clear medium, and if there are little rough or irregular areas there, it'd be like looking through a windshield covered in rain. But if the windshield wiper is doing its job and spreading the moisture into a thin film over the surface of the eye and wiping off the excess, then you should have a nice clear view through the windshield. And the same way, you should have a clear view over your eye if your eyelid is doing the right job and if the oil and the watery parts of the tears are all sufficient or all adequate. So what we're learning over time is that many of the symptoms that people experience with dry eyes, difficulty using the computer, difficulty in air conditioning, burning when they go outside in a windy environment, burning of the eyes in general, soreness, redness, tired feeling. Many of these dry eye manifestations, more so than other causes, seem to be due to poor function of these oil glands along the base of your eyelids. So why aren't these oil glands functioning well? Well, it's hard to say. You know, no one really understands why the oil glands stop working as well as we get older. But it turns out that they don't work as well as we get older. Many of the secretions from the glands become thicker, become cloudy. It's not healthy oil coming out of those oil glands. And, you know, some people attribute this to diet. If your diet is poor, if it's poor in omega-3 fatty acids, you eat a lot of other types of fats, or if your diet is poor, or you don't have adequate hydration, you don't drink enough water, then this can certainly interfere with the tear film. So some people feel that the change in our diet over the years, from grass-fed meats to corn and grain-fed meats, have reduced the amount of omega-3 fatty acids in our diet, which have reduced the health of the diet that we eat in terms of the fats in our diet, and that has led to problems like dry eye and certain skin problems as well, because both the skin and the eyes require this oil layer in order to stay healthy. And so eating foods that are richer in omega-3 fatty acids, which are basically things like nuts, flaxseed oil contains a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, fish, so oily fish like salmon and mackerel, tuna that are grown wild, not farm-fed necessarily, not farm-raised necessarily, but the wild ones contain a good amount of these omega-3 fatty acids. And so these are things that you can perhaps enhance in your diet or take a supplement, a flaxseed oil supplement to enhance the oil in your diet. So these things, that seems to help with the evaporative dry eye problem. So without enough oil, tear film evaporates more quickly. We call that evaporative dry eye. Evaporative dry eye tends to cause symptoms of blurry, fluctuating vision, particularly when using your eyes, using the computer, reading, and so on. So evaporative dry eye is becoming recognized as one of the leading causes of a dry eye condition, which is affecting people's vision, people's ability to do what they need to do and what they want to do. And so how do we treat this evaporative dry eye? Well, we talked a little bit about supplementation with omega-3 fatty acids, taking flaxseed oil, taking fish oil, sometimes that can be helpful. Also, cleaning the eyelids, putting some pressure on the glands to try to get the glands to secrete their oil a little bit more effectively, a little bit more efficiently, sometimes is helpful, and sometimes we'll put people on a regimen a couple times a day of using a combination of heat and pressure on the glands in order to open them up and get them to function a little bit better. So all of those things help a little bit. Tear drops in the eyes, moisture drops sometimes will help restore the oil layer in the tears, particularly if it's a teardrop designed for that type of thing. There are several of them that are designed specifically for that. But the bottom line is that most people who have evaporative dry eyes and are significantly symptomatic from it, they try all of these things, and number one, they find that the treatments are kind of humbug. They have to keep doing these warm compresses, the pressure on the eyelids, the eye drops, and all of this stuff is a pain. And so they're looking for something that might benefit the eyes, that might make them feel more comfortable, that might improve their overall vision without having to constantly do all of these treatments. So there is something actually that's new that actually helps with this particular problem. So if your dry eyes are attributable to the meibomian gland dysfunction, the oil gland weakness, and the evaporative dry eye, there is a new series of diagnostic and treatment effects which can be helpful in treating and addressing this particular problem. So I want to talk a little bit more about that particular way we are now dealing with diagnosing and treating some of these people as soon as we come back from this short break for the news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's a wintry, breezy Saturday morning, December 15th. I'm Stephen Storm, and here's what's happening. Connecticut State Police are trying to piece together how and why a 20-year-old gunman massacred 26 people, including 20 children, at the Sandy Hook Elementary School yesterday. They say the suspect forced his way into the building and was not allowed in by school officials. Federal investigators also have been visiting local gun ranges in the state, but so far they've found no evidence that the gunman trained for the attack or was an active member of the recreational gun community. Well, Egyptians have been lining up to vote on a draft constitution today. The proposed charter has deeply divided the country between Islamist supporters of the document and those who fear it will usher in religious rule. Opponents also fear the newly empowered Muslim Brotherhood and more ultra-conservative Islamists are taking advantage of their current political dominance to adopt a charter that will be nearly impossible to amend. Here at home, the University of Hawaii plans to pay its new athletic director $293,000 a year with the potential for thousands of dollars extra in bonuses. Ben Jay of Ohio State accepted the offer last week. Jay's appointment still must be approved by the university system president, MRC Greenwood, who is said to be very pleased with his selection. Gas prices in Hawaii have sunk to their lowest level this year, but remain the highest in the nation. AAA reports prices yesterday dipped to $4 a gallon. Analysts say nationwide gas prices will soon drop to their lowest level of the year. By Monday, the national average should fall below $3.28 a gallon that drivers paid on January 1st. Hawaii public school administrators have reviewed school security procedures with Honolulu Police after more than two dozen people died in a mass shooting at a Connecticut elementary school. School Superintendent Catherine Mateoshi says all of Hawaii public schools have emergency procedures in place. She says the department's teams revisited these procedures with awareness. In island weather, breezy and beautiful and wintry out there. Highs approaching the upper 70s today. That's the very latest. You're up to date. I'm Stephen Storm.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about eyes, and we've been talking about a number of conditions related to the eyes. I promised to talk a little bit more about dry eyes, evaporative dry eye, and some of the things that we can do now that we weren't able to do just very recently to try to give people some relief of the symptoms that they have. People can be very uncomfortable with this condition, with redness, irritation, soreness, burning of the eyes, sensitivity to light, and sensitivity to wind and air conditioning. A windy day like today in Honolulu, people who have evaporative dry eye are probably squinting their eyes and quite uncomfortable that they're feeling like their eyes are burning and a little bit sore. We talked a little bit earlier to Sonny from the North Shore, and he's back on the line again. So you have another question. Hi, Sonny. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, just wondering, a lot of these over-the-counter eye drops and things, they create a lot of dependency. Like, you kind of, after you start using them, you need them even more, from my understanding. And so that's kind of what I was trying to get away from, you know, is just, that's why I use the aloe vera. But and that's also kind of my point on the eyeglasses. Even if they don't improve your vision, which there's not just claims from people selling the glasses online about that, but if they don't improve your vision, that's at least they don't deteriorate your vision, is my understanding. And if you wear them around the house, maybe, you know, you won't have to get stronger and stronger prescription all the time. I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good points. Thanks for bringing them up, and thanks for calling back. There's no evidence that I know of that the teardrops or the moisture drops that you get in the drugstore develop any type of dependency after using them. Basically, you use them and it lubricates the eye, and then the effect wears off. However, there are certain types of drops that you can get over the counter that I don't recommend using regularly, because those do create a sort of a little bit of dependency, and those are the red eye reducing drops. So what happens with those is you put the red eye reducing drops in and they reduce your red eye, and that's fine, that works fine. But if you keep using them, they actually have the opposite effect. They make the eye more red. And so what you're doing is you're putting drops in to reduce the redness, and then the drops are making you more red. So in a sense, that's a dependency. So those red eye drops are. But the artificial tear drops, the moisture drops, are harmless, and they just lubricate the eyes. They don't cause any other problems. So, but thanks for bringing that up, Sunny. That's a good point. And the second thing in terms of the pinhole glasses, it's fine to wear them. There's no harm in wearing the pinhole glasses. I would, you know, not object to that, although there isn't any evidence that there's any lasting effect on your vision in terms of improvement for wearing them. There's no good scientific evidence, I should say, because you'll find claims that it does work, but there's no good scientific evidence, like a study that showed that people wearing them. But by the same token, wearing regular eyeglasses doesn't usually change your vision either, doesn't really improve your vision over time either. And wearing regular eyeglasses, I think, you know, a lot of people are concerned, boy, do wearing the regular eyeglasses actually make my vision worse? Does it make me more dependent on wearing the eyeglasses? And the reason that people think this, the reason that people are concerned that wearing eyeglasses may increase your dependency on eyeglasses, is because when you take off your eyeglasses, you know, you've been wearing them for a while and you take them off, it seems like your vision is extra blurry. And so that extra blurry vision is not... it's not really related to the eyeglasses. It's just kind of the contrast between the glasses on and the glasses off. So as far as I know, eyeglasses don't cause any further dependency on eyeglasses. So wearing eyeglasses doesn't make you need them more. Now, in the case of young children, sometimes we do see a progressive development of nearsightedness over time. We correct them with glasses. They become more nearsighted. They need stronger glasses. They become more nearsighted. They need stronger glasses. And so for these children, maybe there's something about correcting the eyes that's causing the eyes to continue to change. But in adults, there's nothing that would suggest that this would be the case. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. We've got Jerry standing by in Nebraska. Jerry, is that right? Are you in Nebraska?
Yes, Doctor, and I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm here on holiday. But I wondered if there's anything new in the research on macular degeneration. Anything as far as impeding the progress? I've had the cataract surgery, as had my wife, and she got the special lenses. But they said as a macular D candidate, I couldn't get those.
Okay. Well, for macular degeneration, you know, so there's a whole range of symptoms. So let me ask about you specifically for a minute. Do you feel that your vision is significantly impaired? Are you having difficulty seeing or dealing with your daily activities?
No, not to that point yet, but I would want to impede any of that happening.
Okay.
If I can.
So if you have a mild reduction in your vision from macular degeneration, and that's why they're not recommending those special lenses, is because the lenses don't work well unless you have really the perfect optical system for them to fit into. And so basically what that means is you'll wear glasses instead of, you know, less dependence on glasses, as hopefully your wife is experiencing. But as far as prevention of macular degeneration, check with your doctor. There are certain changes that we sometimes see in the eyes that do benefit from supplementation with certain types of nutritional supplements, certain vitamins.
Yes, I am on Ocuvite.
Okay.
and they told me that it was dry, that as long as it wasn't wet, it was a good sign.
But. Right. Right, that is a good sign. So if you're seeing okay and you have dry macular degeneration, it could stay the same for the rest of your life. There is a small chance that it could get worse over time, and that's why the doctors recommended you take the Ocuvite, because that reduces that chance that it'll get worse over time. But chances are, if you eat healthy, live healthy, you know, take the supplements and exercise regularly, the hope is that you're going to keep good vision throughout your life. So that's your goal.
Well, I hope so. In fact, as I'm talking to you, I'm on a walk up the mountain here in Macaha. So,
okay, sounds
trying
good.
To stay happy. But thank you very much for your time.
All right, stay healthy.
Aloha.
So we talked about before about dry eye disease, about evaporative dry eye disease, where the oil glands along the base of the eyelids are not making sufficient oil to lubricate or coat the surface of the eye. And so what's new or what's different that we can do now? Well, as we understand better that these oil glands are not functioning properly in many people, we're looking at different ways that we can try to enhance the output of the oil glands without making people necessarily have to do a lot of heat treatments and massage and take supplements and all these things. Those things are all helpful, but they don't really open up the oil glands or get the oil glands working properly again for a few reasons. You know, heat is a good idea because it softens up the secretions. Pressure on the glands is useful because it milks out the contents of the glands and allows the glands to make fresh oil, which then can come out on the tear film and hopefully is more healthy. But all of these things are a little bit limited by the ability to actually get to the right place, to get to the source of the problem. And so through technology, there has recently been developed a new system by a company called Tear Science. If you want to look them up, it's online at tearscience.com. There's also information on it about on our website under dry eyes for hawaiianeye.com. The Tear Science people determined that if we create an instrument that actually does all of that for you, warms up the glands so that it softens up the secretions and then puts pressure on them to kind of pump out or push out the secretions, the oil from the glands, that this is going to help to open things up. You know, that if we were going to do that in the office, you know, we'd have to apply heat to your eyelid, and then we have to squeeze your eyelids really uncomfortable and pressure and so forth. So what they've done is they've developed a device that heats the eyelids, heats it from the inside, which is closer to where the glands are, and then creates some gentle pulsing pressure on the eyelids to push out that oil from the glands, open up any plugging or material that might be blocking the oil from coming out, open up some glands that might be clogged or blocked, and increase the amount of oil secretion onto the surface of the eye, thus making the eyes much more comfortable and sometimes even the vision better in people who suffer from evaporative dry eye condition. So this is a one-time treatment. The effects of the treatment last a while. They can last a year. They can last several years. Over time, if there's underlying disease that's plugging the oil glands, that will come back. So you can help by continuing to do treatments after the treatment with this instrument. So this instrument does use technology to heat and express the oil from the oil glands, opens them up, allows the oil to flow out more freely, and we've seen a lot of people much more comfortable when they've had this, when they've been suffering from this evaporative dry eye condition. So we're very excited about the technology. We're one of only two centers here in Hawaii that offers it. And so this is a great advance, I think, in dealing with people who are suffering from this type of condition. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Sean standing by in Kaimuki. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I spoke to you about a year and a half ago, about white flashes in my peripheral vision. And you were saying it's kind of like my eyes are like having a migraine or something.
Okay.
And they seem to be becoming more and more frequent, and I was curious, should I see an eye specialist or should I see a regular doctor?
Well, you probably could do both. The eye specialist will make sure there's not something going on in your eyes, but if it is, in fact, the migraine, the ocular migraine that we talked about, as one of the possibilities, then and everything else is healthy about your eyes, then it would probably be your general doctor, or they might even recommend a referral to a neurologist if there were symptoms they were concerned about. So the symptoms that, you know, might be of concern would not only be, you know, is happening more frequently, but it may be associated with other types of findings, particularly neurological findings like weakness or tingling or some other symptom, dizziness.
I've noticed it usually happens late at night when I'm getting ready to go to sleep or when I first wake up.
I see. Okay. Well, I don't know specifically what's causing that, but, you know, sometimes flashes can be caused by problems inside the eye themselves. So if you haven't had that checked out and the symptoms are changing, then that definitely ought to be checked out to make sure that the inside of the eye is healthy, because sometimes pressure on the retina can cause flashes. But when we talked before, it sounded like you were having specific episodes that lasted a limited period of time and that was going away
by itself. It's not flashes, it's stripes that go, sometimes they go down in a peripheral vision, like zebra stripes or tiger stripes, and sometimes they go down, sometimes they come up.
Okay.
But it's always like three or four, you know, one goes down and two goes down and three goes down.
It still sounds like those symptoms sound like what we call an ocular migraine, but definitely, you know, make sure that the eyes are okay. Otherwise, if you haven't had an eye checkup for a while, and then see your regular doctor and make sure the doctor knows that this was, you know, thought perhaps to be a form of migraine, so that he kind of knows what direction, or he or she knows what direction to look at.
So you would basically recommend my general doctor.
Yeah, but if you haven't had an eye exam for a while, I'd recommend that too, just to make sure that everything is okay with the eyes. So if you've had a full eye exam within the past few months, maybe not necessary, but if it's, but I'm sure your doctor will recommend that anyway, because he's not sure or she's not sure if there's anything else going on in the eyes. So before they start doing a whole evaluation of things that cause migraines and so forth, they want to make sure it's not something localized to your eyes. And that's a good idea as well, because we can't tell without looking for sure.
Right. Okay, give me 1 second to find something to write on, and actually, I'll get the number for your office, and maybe I might make an appointment with you.
Yeah, it'll come right up, if you just stay, keep listening, it'll come right up in just a minute or two when we take our next break.
Okay, great, because you sound like you know what you're talking about, so I'd rather have the expert check it out.
Nice of you to say. Okay, thank you. Aloha. All right, we're going to take a short break so that we can take our break here, our sponsor break, and then we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Hawaiian Hula Eyes. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we're talking about a number of things related to eyes. We've covered a lot of different things about dry eyes, irritated eyes, pinhole glasses. We've been talking about quite a few things today. But we're going to spend a little bit of time here in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show talking a little bit about some of the issues that affect medicine in general in this country today. And I found an article that I thought was a good article that talks about some of the concerns about the way we're looking at addressing the rise in expenses that Medicare is encountering on a regular basis. And it says here, the headline is, "Chronic disease is the key to cutting Medicare costs," according to an analyst. Says Medicare can cut 5 to 10% of its total spending if it focuses on chronic disease prevention and coordinated care for those with chronic conditions, according to a health policy analyst last week. Roughly a quarter of Medicare beneficiaries have diabetes, a number that's doubled in 15 years, and more than 90% of spending is associated with patients with chronic conditions, according to Ken Thorpe, PhD, health policy professor of Emory University in Atlanta, in a conference call with reporters. But rather than address this cohort of troublesome patients as a way to curb Medicare spending, Washington policymakers eyeing Medicare as a way to reduce federal spending are focusing their efforts elsewhere. Really, none of the proposals on the table that I've seen really address this, according to Thorpe. It's very narrowly focused on cutting provider payments. That means payments to doctors and hospitals. That's not a long-term solution. The real growth in Medicare spending is coming from chronic disease, he says. In his report, Lessons for Reform to Original Medicare, released Thursday, Thorpe turned to a program already used by Medicare Advantage, which, unlike traditional Medicare, is operated by private insurers, to see how Medicare Parts A and B can save money. He found that by focusing on preventing chronic disease and better coordination of care, Medicare could save 5 to 10% of its total expenses. That's fairly conservative, said Thorpe, a former senior health advisor under President Bill Clinton. It would translate into hundreds of billions of dollars. The best-known lifestyle modification program is the Diabetes Prevention Program, a public-private partnership that establishes programs for people at high risk for type 2 diabetes. A randomized trial of the program found that lifestyle intervention reduced diabetes prevalence by as much as 58%, a reduction largely due to a 5 to 7% weight loss among participants. Thorpe said that Medicare would save money if it made programs such as the Diabetes Prevention Program a covered benefit under traditional Medicare. Enrolling one cohort of overweight pre-diabetic seniors into the program would generate a net savings of $2 billion over 10 years and more than $7 billion during the lifetimes of those participating in the program, the report said. Private health plans such as United Healthcare and some Blue Cross plans provide the Diabetes Prevention Program intervention to at-risk adults. Traditional Medicare provides no care coordination, unlike Medicare Advantage, which has the Chronic Conditions Special Needs Plan that provides coordinated care to patients with certain chronic conditions. So they go on to talk about different ways that this may help to reduce costs. And basically the bottom line is that if we look at preventative health care, trying to keep people healthy rather than treating disease, that this is going to save us a lot of money in our healthcare system over times. So some of the quotes here that I see also, real coordination will require broader terms, teams of providers such as nurse practitioners, pharmacists, social workers, and others engaging patients to help to keep them healthy, according to the report. It highlighted a number of findings related to the growth in Medicare spending. It says 20% of Medicare patients were treated for five or more chronic conditions during the year and accounted for half of total Medicare spending. So the 20% of patients who had five or more chronic conditions, we spent half of our Medicare dollars on. Virtually all the growth in Medicare spending since the late 80s has been associated with patients with five or more medical conditions. Okay, so again, this five or more medical conditions is causing the increase in costs. Rising obesity rates among seniors accounted for roughly 10% of the increase in spending. 20% of hospitalized Medicare patients are readmitted to the hospital within 30 days and could account for more than $500 billion in spending in the next decade. Thorpe said CMS needs to move away. CMS is the federal organization that controls Medicare, needs to move away for so many pilot programs and start implementing effective programs nationwide, which it has the authority to do. The agency needs to be aggressive We're not just going to pilot our way to a solution here, Thorpe said. Many pilot projects are years away, and we just can't wait that long. Very interesting article, interesting concepts. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Diana standing by in Kauai. Hi, Diana. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. The question I have is about the drops you mentioned for my husband uses Visine sometimes on his eyes, especially after he takes his contacts out. You were mentioning there's red eye drops that you should not use, and if that's one of them, and if that is, what do you recommend?
Well, generally, the red eye drops are okay if you use them just once in a while, once a day, every few days. They're not going to do any harm. But if they're used regularly and consistently, two times, three times a day on an ongoing basis, they will make the eyes more red. They'll have an opposite effect to what you're trying to achieve. That's all the drops that are called redness reducers. So that's the old traditional Visine. Visine tears are okay. That doesn't contain any redness reducers, but the regular Visine get the red out kind of drops. Visine, Nafcon, Opcon, all of these anti-redness drops are the ones that you'd be concerned about on that. The drops that I would recommend for people whose eyes are a little uncomfortable after taking out their contacts or just when they're getting irritated are any type of artificial tear drops. Anything that's sold or marketed as an artificial tear is a moisture drop, not a redness reducing drop, but a moisture drop would be fine. So those are okay to use multiple times during the day.
Wonderful. I have a product that I use occasionally called Tera Tears.
Tera Tears, yeah, that's a very good one. Uh-huh. Yeah. That one works well.
Wonderful. And the other question, I have a grandson that they're saying he might he's 10, they were concerned with maybe wearing glasses or getting a prescription for glasses, even though he can see quite well. And you mentioned about younger people, when they're starting to wear glasses, maybe they have to improve their different prescriptions more periodically than adults. My concern was that he might become too attached to wearing glasses at a young age and never get out of that cycle.
That's unlikely that he's going to get too attached to it, but I would gauge his need for eyeglasses based on how his vision is. Now, I don't know what the doctor found in the office, but you may have an idea by seeing how he does in school. Now, some kids won't tell you because they don't want to wear glasses, so that's a little bit hard to tell. But if he's seeing fine in school and he's not having any problems and he's able to do his homework and everything comfortably, then maybe he doesn't have to wear the glasses all the time. So I got to go. I'm running out of time, but
thank
I hope that
your
answers
time.
Your question.
Aloha.
Okay, aloha. We've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I want to thank Rachel for helping out here in the control room, and Stephen, and I'd like to thank all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Don't forget to check out our website. Podcasts of the radio show are available, as well as previous programs streaming live at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can remember that, HawaiianEye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Dr. Tortora, or the Hawaiian Eye Center is on Facebook. So look for facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. We bring this program to you every Saturday morning. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
America's anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHVH, Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.